Praise God. All right, let's thank God this morning. We thank God that every one of us who have taken the trouble to come this morning, the time to come to the house of God, the gateway to heaven, the windows of heaven are open.
Amen.
And His blessings are going to fall on us.
Amen.
This morning. Lord, we just thank You for Your sweet presence. You are truly worthy of our praise and our worship. And we want to give You thanks this morning. We ask, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, release upon us Your people, the word of Your grace upon us. Give us ears that will hear what You are saying to us. Give us hearts that are discerning, listening hearts, that we might receive from You in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen
and amen. Amen. Praise God. We thank God this morning that Pastor was making us do things as in making confession. And it's so important for us to confess the Word of God. And there's a reason for that. Okay? There's a reason for that. Now, we have been so blessed with a series of profound teaching in our life group by Pastor John Osteen. And on the subject of guarding your minds and battle of the mind, right? And if you have not been attending a life group, there is no better time to start than this coming Tuesday or Wednesday. Am I correct? You know why? Because we should all be having some form of food fellowship. Alright? Not only physical food, okay, but also spiritual food. Okay? And so what better time than to start to come to life group, find out where in your life group, and join the life group, and connect with the people of God.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah.
And receive complete blessing from God. So come on the Tuesday or Wednesday. It's kind of an advertisement for the life group, but come. Amen. But in any case, we were really receiving tremendous teaching on the battle of the mind, on guarding our minds. And if you have been attending, you would have noted that in Pastor John Osteen's preaching, just at the very beginning of his preaching, he always make it a practice to get the congregation to stand up and hold up the Bible like this and make a bold confession. So what he was doing in effect, was that he was putting into practice, into action, okay, the biblical truth found in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Can we have slide 2? Thank you. Right, in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, which Pastor also made us do this morning, okay, it says, death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of thereof. And truly, we want to eat the fruit of our tongue, of life, of blessing. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to take and put into practice what Pastor John Osteen made his congregation do. We're going to hold up our Bible, and we're going to proclaim, all right, this statement. Let's hold up our Bible, everyone, and say, and we're going to proclaim the word of life, and we're going to enjoy it, and we're going to eat the fruit of our time.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
Today I'll be taught the word of God.
Today I'll be taught the word of God.
I boldly confess.
I boldly confess.
My mind is alert.
My mind is alert.
My heart heart is receptive, I will never be the same.
I'm about to receive
the incorruptible,
indestructible,
ever-living seed of the Word of God.
I will never be the same.
I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, everybody says,
Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. You believe it?
Yes.
Amen. Because it's the truth. It's the truth. The God's word is the truth. Amen. Now this morning I'm going to share on pulling down strongholds. And you shall know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth shall make you free. Now to begin my message on pulling down stronghold, it will be helpful for us to know what is the definition of a stronghold. According to the Merriam-Webster English Dictionary, definition of stronghold is a fortified place. A fortified place. Now this definition fits into the Greek word that that is translated into English meaning castle or stronghold. And it was used, or it is used only in 2 Corinthians, only once in the Bible, used in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. So, what is a stronghold? As used in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, next slide. As used in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 to 5, now we can determine that the context that this word was used, the verse mentioned things like imagination and thoughts. So that gives us the idea that the field of operation of where the stronghold is what? Our mind, okay? Because thoughts and imaginations come from what? Got to do with the mind.
Yeah.
So strongholds is basically false thinking pattern that is established in our mind when we accept the lies and the deception of the devil. Okay? And slowly as we begin to accept those lies and the devil's deception that he puts into our mind, and we accept them as truth, okay? When we accept them as truth, the devil uses those lies as building blocks to build slowly a stronghold into our mind, a wrong thinking pattern, okay? That we, instead of trusting in the truth of God's word, we begin to think in a certain pattern that follows the devil's lies. You get what I'm saying? So stronghold is actually a faulty thinking pattern that is now developed into our minds. Okay? Now, can you picture, okay, if you picture medieval times, you always see castles, right? And castles are designed to be built in a certain landscape, right? And the function of the stronghold is what? Is to dominate the whole area. If you get what I'm saying, it's designed to be a secure place that can dominate the whole area. So if you can picture that, when you have strongholds in your mind, that stronghold actually dominates our thinking. And when the way you think, as a man thinker, so is he. So that pattern of thinking becomes dominate us, dominate our lives.
Yeah.
Alright? So if it is left unchallenged, that stronghold is left unchallenged and not torn down, it really, really becomes a bondage in our lives. So if we understand the basis is lies and deception, then the need to tackle the lies and the deception of the devil is of great significance. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay? So important, right? So important. Now, the devil has a basic method of operation, or what we call modus operandi, right? A certain way of operating. And this is, this we can see in the example. Next one. Alright, in the next biblical example, there are two biblical examples that I want to talk about now. And the first one is Adam and Eve, in the life of Adam and Eve. Okay? Now, you know the story from the very beginning in Genesis about Adam and Eve, how the devil came and tempted Adam and Eve. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Now, his approach is so subtle, okay? But it gives, there is a certain pattern to which he approached the temptation of people. In this case, Adam and Eve. All right. The first thing he does is that when he comes, he will question God's character. Okay? He will question the character of God. Did God actually say this? No. He said to Eve, "You will not surely die. In fact, if you eat this fruit, okay, you will become wise." So what, by implication, what he was saying to Adam and Eve is, actually God doesn't want you to eat this fruit because he doesn't want you to be wise. You know? How subtle is that? He's actually questioning God's character. Okay? So subtle. Alright? And then he started to appeal to man's desires. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay, so first he questioned God's character, and then his approach is to appeal to our desires. Right? And the end result was, we know, that Eve was deceived, and he gave in to the devil's lies. Alright? But Adam was not deceived. The Bible tells us Adam was not deceived. What did Adam do instead? He got the commandment from God and he disobeyed God. That's what the Bible tells us. Alright? Eve was deceived, Adam disobeyed. Alright? Adam was not deceived. He blatantly disobeyed God. Full stop. So, in short, with humankind, generally speaking, women have a propensity to be deceived. Man has a greater propensity to disobey. Okay? That's generally true. Not saying that man cannot be deceived. I'm saying there is a propensity, an inclination for men to be disobedient, women to be deceived. Okay? So that's from the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden. Alright? So, when they succumbed to the devil, bondage and death came. Right? And ever since that time, men have always been struggling with shame, guilt, fear. Alright? So we saw that from the very beginning. What did they do after they sinned against God? They cover their shame. Shame, right? They knew they were naked, they had to cover their shame. Alright? And when God came, what did they do? They hide himself. And God said, "Where are you?" You used to fellowship with God, but then now they are hiding because they were fearful of God. Alright? They had to hide their shame, they were fearful of God, and the next thing they did was they started to
blame.
Finger pointing. Okay? Shift the blame. Alright? So now, is that a common human trait?
Yeah.
From the very beginning, we saw that happen, and from then on, that's the bondage that we have been all under. Yeah? Okay? Now, the second example is in the life of Jesus. In the temptation, the same method of approach was used by the devil. Okay? He came, and the first thing he said to Jesus was, in the temptation of Jesus, is, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. Now, remember, Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4, into the wilderness. Alright? And for 40 days he fasted in the wilderness. And he was, of course, if you fast for 40 days, what's going to happen? You're going to be very hungry, right? And the first question that the devil did was, he said, if you are the Son of God, by implication, what he was saying to Jesus was, if you are the Son of God, what are you doing in the wilderness? Why are you suffering in all this hunger? Say to the stone, turn it to become bread. Right? So he was not only telling Jesus to prove himself that he is the Son of God, he was actually, by implication, what? Questioning God's character. If you are the Son of God, why would the Father put you in this place? You follow? That's so subtle. Okay? Terrible. But that's the same basic approach. The first thing the devil always does is question God's goodness, God's character. Alright? And then he will start to appeal to man's desire. So he appealed to Jesus. Alright? If you are the Son of God, say to the stone, become bread. Okay? If you are the Son, which is the last of the flesh, and then the next one was, if you are the Son of God, alright? Second one was, he was high up in the took him high up in the temple, said, throw yourself down. Alright? If you are the Son of God, the angels will come, because he quoted scripture. So we were talking, we were listening on Friday about hearing the voice of God. Alright? Voice of God. It is so important, because the devil can also quote scripture. The devil can also quote scripture, because he, in the second temptation, he quoted scripture to Jesus. It is written. He said, it is written. Alright? So how do we know that we are hearing God's voice? How do we know? Scripture can be quoted too, taken out of context. There is this thing called the spirit and the tenor of scripture. It must be in agreement. Okay? Cannot take out of context. The tenor means, like you sing a song, it goes out of tune, it is terrible sounding. It doesn't sound right. So the same thing, scripture that you hear, you think you hear scripture coming to you, we have to test it. Is it overall, and I'm hearing the voice of God, is it overall in spirit and in tenor with the scripture written? Is there confirmation of circumstance we learn? Is there, what was the next one? The peace of God, so important. When we hear things, does it have the peace of God? Talk to pastors. Does pastor receive the same the spirit of word that you're receiving, is it the same that he's hearing to? Things like that. Alright? So coming back to the temptation, right? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Same thing that he appealed to Jesus. But most importantly was, how did Jesus respond to the temptation? Okay? Now, of course, it was the correct response. Thank God. He came to show us the right way that we are to confront the devil when things like that happen in our lives, when we are being tempted. All right, and I will show you, next slide, the lessons that we can learn. The lessons that we can learn on how Jesus confronted the devil. Now, in James chapter 4, verse 7, Scripture tells us, therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Now, that scripture was the way that Jesus actually used, the principle that Jesus applied to confront the devil. All right? So the first thing he did was he submitted himself to God. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that Jesus submitted himself to God and stayed under God's authority and rule? We see that in all over the place in Scripture, right? Though he was a son, Hebrews 5:8 told us, though he was a son, yet learned to be obedient. Jesus always learned obedience. Luke 22:42, not my will, he said, but your will be done. And John 5:30 say, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father. So that was the first thing that Jesus did. He stayed under God's authority and rule. Not his own will, but the will of God was his primary motivation in everything that Jesus does. The second thing that he did, still under submitting himself to God, is that he knew how to operate within God's dictate. Okay? So now what do I mean? Now this is so clearly shown when Jesus came to John the Baptist and asked John the Baptist to baptize him. Alright? And John said, No. I'm not going to baptize you. You are more worthy. You are before me, preferred to me. Why would I baptize you, the Son of God? And Jesus said to him, not so. Suffer it. He says, the word was, suffer it to be so now for the requirements of the righteousness. Jesus knew that with God, in the what we call the dictate of God, that God dictate by the word means that there is a certain order that God does things. Alright? Scripture has to be fulfilled. So he recognized that and he learned to operate within God's framework of how things work. There is a principle. So he put himself under God's authority. And then the next thing he did was he resisted the devil. And that's the principle that is laid out in James 4:7, that we are to submit ourselves to God when we face temptation, resist the devil, and the devil has no choice but to depart. Okay? And he rejected the devil's lies, and he followed God's truth, the word of God. Amen. Alright?
Yes.
Now, I feel especially, I've been thinking about pulling down stronghold and the truth of God. And one of the areas that we have to be watchful over is in John 10:10. Huh? From the lessons that we have seen from Jesus' confrontation with the devil, there is one stronghold that we must really confront. Okay? And that is in John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. Jesus is the good shepherd. He takes care of us, believers, his sheep. But guess what? The devil will come to us and he will, just like what he did when we are going through the wilderness experience, the tough times, what will the devil come to us as? He will tell us that God doesn't take care of us. God doesn't love us. God is not providing for us. We must reject that as a lie. That's not true. Because Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus came to give us life. If he died on the cross for our sin. He gave himself for his life for us. Wouldn't he give us all that we need? Wouldn't he? He already gave his all. God sent his son because God loved us. So tell the devil, that's not the truth. That's a lie. We reject that lie in Jesus' name. Okay? We make that practice of affirming God's word for our life. We confess it with our mouth and say, I reject the devil. It is written, Jesus is the good shepherd. We recite passages of scripture that we remember. One example is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God is with us. His rod and his staff comfort me. Alright? My rod and my staff, they comfort me. Now, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemy. My cup, keep repeating the word of God to ourselves. Feed the truth of God. Put it in our minds and then let it come down to our heart. Put it in our mind, let it come down to our heart. Say to the devil, no, I reject your life. I'm not going to allow strongholds to be built in my mind. I reject Satan's lie. I accept God's truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Amen. Huh? So as we do that, John 17:17 tells us, sanctify us by thy truth, thy word is truth. So when we do that, when we speak the word of God to ourselves, we are sanctifying ourselves. We are letting the word of God, which carries God's authority to demolish the lies, the deception of the devil, demolish his lies, his deception in Jesus' name. Because we know that the promises of God in Christ Jesus is in him is yes, in him is amen. Everything that God has promised us in Jesus is yes and amen. Praise the Lord. On that note, I want to share a testimony. When I was in Melbourne for 2 months, some of you may know, and I actually took the time to drive up and visit my brother in Melbourne, and I visited my brother in Sydney for about a week. And this is a testimony of how God takes care of his own. Jesus truly is the good shepherd. He knows how to take care of his own. Alright? My brother, I suppose he needed a newer car. I won't say a new car. So, this is a testimony of how God provided a replacement car for my brother in Sydney. And how events were orchestrated so that my brother pretty much got a newer car for a smaller amount of money than what would have cost him. Now, he had to sell his car, and his car is a late base model Nissan. I'm not selling cars, okay? 2030 Nissan X-Trail two-wheel drive with a mileage of about 140,000 km. So he drove quite a lot because being a pastor, he travels quite a a bit, and then also he's got a grandson with him, he brings to school, so quite a bit of running around, and in about 5 years he traveled 140,000 km. And what happened was he wanted to sell his car, but no way, 140,000 kilometer car, two-wheel drive, X-Trail, can you get for the amount of money he sold, $30,000. The nearest that he got was from dealers who wanted his car for about $7,000. But when he sold it, when he put up his car for sale, what happened was there was this old man that called not long after, about a couple of weeks. Yeah? You know, selling second-hand car is very, very hard. I don't know whether you ever tried to sell your car. Have you ever tried to sell your car? Yes?
Yes.
Yes? Anyone?
Yes.
Is it easy?
No.
It is as hard as, I don't know, it is hard to sell your own second-hand car. It can take you for a long, long time. And he did it within, I would say, within a month, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks maybe. And he got a very good price for it. All right? He got this buyer, old man called him, because what happened was his son was starting a new job. On the first day he went to for his job as a teacher, his car broke down. So he was desperate to find a car for his son. So he looked up the web, saw my brother's ad, all right, and came to take a look and make an offer, $13,000, and bought the car. He came on Tuesday, he bought it on Saturday. And then the words he said was, when he bought the car, he said, it must be someone above who arranged it. This was his very words. And I tell you, he could have got a lot of other cars for that amount of money and lower mileage than 140,000. Okay? He could have got a lot of other cars. Yet he felt that someone above his word, very words, you know, arranged all this, you know? And I tell you, the Lord really knows how to take care of his own. Okay? And he was able to change his car. For a newer car, more or less newer, but more importantly, the mileage was a lot lower, which is got implication. Now, why am I sharing all this? Because many times when we have needs, when we going through tough time, that's what the devil does. He lies to us. He puts thoughts in our mind that God does not love us. God doesn't take care of us. Why is this not happening in my life? Okay? But you know, I actually came across this this hymn, song. I don't know whether we have internet connection. No. Do we have? Can you double click it and see whether you can get it? No. Okay. No, you've got to double click the play button. No. Okay, never mind. Alright, now this song speaks so clearly and truthfully. Alright? Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith. You're never alone.
Amen.
For the God of the mountain is the still God of the valley.
Yes.
When things go wrong, He will make it right. And the God of the good times is the God of the bad times. The God of the day is still the God of the night. God is in control.
Amen.
You can talk of faith when you're up on a mountain, but talk comes easy when life is at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptation. That's when your faith is really put to the test. But the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make it right. And the God of the good times is still the God of the bad times. The God of the day is still the God of the night. God is a good God.
Amen.
God is a God of mercy.
Amen.
He gave His all for each one of us. Never accept the lies of the devil. Never accept the lie of the devil. Okay? And as a matter of fact, He still sits on the throne and nothing escapes Him. From this treasure chest in heaven are many great and precious promises. It is for us to claim them, to tap into these promises and claim them by faith for our lives. Don't listen to the devil's lies. Tap into these great and precious promises that He has for us and claim them by faith.
Yeah.
And let's do that, okay? Let's do that. I have this verse, right? I felt that the Lord wants us to comfort ourselves and to tap into it. That God is able. He's able to make all grace abound toward you. That you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work.
Amen.
God is able.
Amen.
He's able to release all that we need for life, for godliness. It is for us to tap into these precious promises and claim them.
Yeah.
When the Lord give you a verse, claim them for yourself. Claim it for yourself.
Amen.
Claim it for yourself by proclaiming it in your life. God, you are able to make all grace abound toward us.
Yes.
That we, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you. Father, we just thank you for your goodness.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. You are truly a good God.
Yes.
A God of love. A God of mercy.
Yes.
You gave your all, your precious Son, Jesus Christ, for us.
Yes.
Because you love us so much.
Amen.
Lord, we just receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives.
Yes.
We receive Him into our lives.
Yes.
When we know you, Lord, all those great and precious promises are for us.
Yes.
All the treasure chests in heaven of great and precious promises, Lord, they are there for us.
Yes.
We now lay hold of them and claim them in the mighty name of Jesus into our lives. Every promise of God in Christ Jesus is yes,
yes.
And in Jesus
yes.
Is amen.
Amen.
And we claim that right now for us, Lord.
Amen.
You are able to make all grace abound toward us.
Yes.
And we receive you with grateful hearts this morning.
Yes.
We bless your holy name.
Yes.
We bless your holy
yes.
name.
Yes.
We give praise and thanks
yes.
to you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, let the word of your grace, Lord,
yes.
come upon us, your people.
Yes.
And we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, bless you, bless you.
Yes.
To the glory of God.
Yes.
To the glory of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.